welcome to the Essential Tennis Podcast. If you love tennis and want to improve your game, this podcast is for you. Whether it's technique, strategy, equipment, or the mental game, tennis professional Ian Westerman is here to make you a better player. And now, here's Ian.
Hi, and welcome to the Essential Tennis Podcast, your place for free, expert tennis instruction that can truly help you improve your game. Today on the podcast, I have a special guest. He has been a longtime tennis player and coach as well, and he works for a mental training company. He's going to talk to us about choking. Choking is something that we've all dealt with if we've been around any sport for really any period of time. And he's going to tell us what he feels are the main causes of choking and how to prevent it, how to make yourself more choke-proof and play at your highest level possible more often. So let's get down to business, sit back, relax, and get ready for some great tennis instruction. My guest on the podcast today is David Grumpin, and he works at Gemini Executive Coaching as a mental coach. David, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Ian.
Tell us a little bit about what you do at Gemini Executive Coaching. Tell us
Gemini Executive Coaching.
Yes. Thanks. I obviously needed some help there. Tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and what you're doing there.
Yeah. So I'm a tennis player, first off, mm-hmm. and I've been playing tennis for a long, long time, and I've coached tennis a lot, and I play a lot of tennis, and that's my tennis background. I've been coaching tennis for like 10 years now.
Okay.
I really go back. And in terms of what I do, I work for an executive coaching company, and we work with businesses and actually Native American tribes on high performance, being effective with what they're doing, teamwork, leadership, all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And given my tennis background, we decided to transfer what we do, and we've caused lots and lots of really great results with businesses and tribes, mm-hmm. to transfer what we do to athletes in sports and tennis.
Gotcha.
So we started making workshops and working with people.
Cool.
In terms, for effectiveness, what I call sports mental toughness when you're on the court, per se.
Gotcha. Well, in my experience, I've only been doing the podcast for 8 months or so now. Mental tennis, just mental toughness in general, really is a topic that, from my listeners, is brought up probably more than anything else, percentage-wise. Mm-hmm. People want to know how they can be the most effective possible, basically, on the court. And you and I being players and everybody else listening, being a tennis player, one thing that I think a lot of amateur players are surprised to hear is that it's something everybody really deals with. So it's great that you're getting in there and trying to help. Do you help kind of more the average player or more high performance players?
I end up usually working with more high performance players, mm-hmm. Just because they're looking to do absolutely everything they can to get the edge.
Sure. Okay, cool.
And also, in tennis, I'm sure most players and people out there listening have probably experienced this. Usually I break this down. Their physical skills in tennis, like how well you hit the ball and your strokes.
Sure.
Then your conditioning or agility, your strength and conditioning, how fast you are, how fit you are, and all that. And then what most people probably don't have as much access to and ability to deal with is the mental aspect of the game.
Sure. Maybe that's why people are always surprised to hear that it's such a widely, experienced thing from player to player. You're right. It's not something that, you go down to the corner and talk to the corner sports psychologist. I guess not many people are looking for that level of help. So, you and I talked before, and we decided that we're going to talk about choking today. That's going to be our main theme. And David has two main sub themes we're going to talk about. One is the causes of choking. David has a list of what he feels are the main causes of when you tighten up, get nervous, and choke. And then he's also going to talk about how to avoid choking. So what do you say we get going and start talking about the different causes, David?
Let's do it.
Cool.
So for most players, there is a point in the match, and you kind of know where it is for you, and you can tell it comes on for you, you know, about a certain point. And some people, that could be the last set. Some people, that could be the last game,
mm-hmm.
or the last a section of a game.
Sure.
But when you start to choke, there are different causes, and I made a list of some pretty pervasive causes that a lot of people end up dealing with, and it's definitely not all-inclusive, but these are the ones I found are pretty pertinent among players actually of all levels.
Okay.
So the first is, and really this is a big one, and is thinking there's a misconception that there's some momentum that we have, or, you know, there's match momentum, that's true. However, we think the match momentum is a lot more significant than it actually is. So if you have the momentum for a long amount of time, unfortunately, momentum won't actually have you close out the match
mm-hmm.
and have you win the next two games or so. So one cause of choking is relying on momentum and thinking we can actually coast towards victory.
Gotcha.
And the huge misconception that we end up falling into, and let me see, I'm just running through my notes, I'm not too good at following them all the time.
No problem.
Yeah, and a lot of times we think we can coast or glide to victory. And actually, in tennis, you're either expanding your lead or you're blowing your lead. And the second you get into the mindset of maintaining your lead,
mm-hmm.
you just started playing to not lose.
Gotcha.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So you're saying, you know, this player has won 2, 3, 4 games in a row and kind of thinking, oh, this is no big deal. And then all of a sudden, things stop going their way.
Yeah, exactly. And it's really easy to get into that mindset. It's, okay, well, I just won 4 games pretty easily.
Yeah.
I can kind of let up the gas a little bit.
Sure.
And, you know, I think I'll win the next 2 games anyway. It's really easy to get into that trap. It's a big trap, too.
Yeah, we even see this happen on the professional level. Certainly not as often as the amateur level, but that's definitely something I think everybody can relate to. In fact, I just
right.
had a post on the forums at essentialtennis.com just this week. Or no, it was last week. Somebody talking about being up 5-0 in a set and then, you know, thinking obviously, well, I'm going to win the set now being up 5-0. I think he even said he was up 40 love on his serve,
yeah.
5-0. And like 10 minutes later, all of a sudden it was like 5-3 and down love 30 or something. And
that's so rough.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And, you know, we laugh, but at the same time, you know, you and I having done a lot of competition ourselves, you know what that feels like. And it's a terrible feeling.
Yeah.
So, okay. Anything else on that first cause of choking?
I want to actually expand on one thing.
Yeah,
I said. I said either you're either expanding your lead or you're blowing it.
Sure.
And you know, you can be on serve, but when I say that, I actually mean your mindset is geared towards expanding your lead
okay.
or blowing it.
Makes sense.
There's no flat line in tennis.
Sure. So that should be your overall attitude is you're never just maintaining, you're always striving for more, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, good.
And it's easy to get into the maintaining mindset, but
yeah.
that's actually it doesn't exist.
Okay, gotcha.
And that actually gets us into the second cause, where these two are linked a little bit, where you think that the match is quote-unquote handled.
Mm-hmm.
And this can be really when you're close to winning, but you haven't won yet.
Sure.
And you think, okay, it's pretty much done. It's like a done deal. And thinking the rest is going to be easy.
Sure.
And having that, you know, mindset or that thought be what takes you over is another huge, huge, huge cause of choking. And, you know, you'll know you're doing this when you're there on the court and you're thinking about holding up the trophy already or you're thinking about how cool you're going to look once you've won.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're playing the victory party already and it's, you know, you're only up 4-2. And so thinking it's actually handled as a done deal is really, really poison when you're on the court.
Gotcha. So the first one was kind of more general. At any point in the match, even the first couple of games, the momentum thing is kind of a general attitude. But I guess the thinking the match is already won, very to me, it seems more specific. Thinking, more cut and dry. Assuming it's already
right.
finished. Maybe your opponent had a slow start or something, and you're winning points easily, and you I know exactly what you're talking about, and you're already thinking about walking off the court and talking to your friends and saying how bad your opponent was, and
right.
But before you know it, you're fighting for your life.
Right, exactly. And I said these two are linked, and the first one more is would be along the lines of resting on your laurels or what you've accomplished so far.
Okay.
It's like, okay, well, I've done so well already. I've got so many more points, then that's going to have me win the rest of the match, which doesn't make quite too much sense when we talk about it, but it does go through our minds as players a lot.
Sure.
And this one is like, okay, this is a done deal. What's next? It's getting a little ahead of yourself, which is also a very easy thing to do too.
Okay, sure. That makes sense.
And if you're doing this, you're obviously, if you're thinking about the trophy or, the after party, then
right. You're
not actually focused on what got you there in the first place.
So, and I hear mental experts talk about this all the time. So you very much need to stay kind of in the present then, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Think about the task at hand or the shot at hand or the point at hand rather than getting ahead of yourself.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'll get into a little how to avoid it.
Okay, sure.
In a few.
Okay, so on to the next cause then?
Yeah. The next one is, and this is sometimes more person-to-person based, but I have found this a lot, and it's being nice on the court.
Okay.
And, a lot of us are nice people, and sometimes in tennis we realize that we're really about to crush someone. And this happens when we're close to winning. And this is a little more pervasive when we play people who we know, or it doesn't necessarily have to be that way, but it does happen.
Sure, sure.
And some people are just generally nice. Unfortunately, we forget to leave that off the court.
Mm-hmm.
And, we find ourselves not wanting to hurt somebody's feelings too badly. And so, we start to, maybe play a little easier. And this may be conscious, it may be unconscious, right?
Sure.
And it starts with a little kindness, but it can have a snowball effect and can get stuck in being nice during a match.
Yeah.
So instead of winning 6-1, 6-0, it ends up going for three sets.
Right, right. Yeah, I definitely see that a ton at, I work at a country club where a majority of the tennis play definitely is more of a, has more of a social, aspect mm-hmm. to it. And yet nobody likes to lose. You don't go out there to lose on purpose, obviously. It's always nice to win. So I see that all the time in the recreational players I teach, where they're kind of mm-hmm. they're kind of torn between, like you say, being nice, and you don't want to be a bad person, or what the ladies that I teach often, the word they use is mean. Oh, that was that was a mean shot, after a drop shot or something. Yeah, well, it worked. They won the point. That's kind of the point of playing, right, is to compete.
Right.
But yeah, I see that a lot, for sure.
And a lot of times we do forget that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually pretty easy. And I mean, I'll go ahead and, to avoid this one, just a lot of times it really does take remembering that being nice isn't actually, it's not respected on the court.
Mm-hmm.
It's not useful on the court. It doesn't get us anywhere. And a lot of times we try and be nice on the court to, make the other person feel good or have the relationship be better,
right.
the relationship intact or something like that.
Sure.
But usually just being nice in the court ends up biting you in the butt somehow too.
Sure. But certainly there's a line between being competitive and doing your best to win and being a dick, right?
Yeah, that's true.
That's something that on the other side of the spectrum, that's something that some players don't really know the difference between those two either. So it's everybody listen. Yeah, it's important to, be competitive, but, there's a difference between being nice and giving points away.
Right.
Although the way David's describing it.
If you really do blow someone out like 1-1 or something like that, then just apologize later. That's what I would say.
Yeah. Well, and like you said, there's a lot of personality traits at work here as well.
Absolutely.
Some people just don't feel comfortable winning by a lot. They think that it's insulting or, the person's going to hold a grudge against you for winning by a lot. But listen, if it's an organized competition, go out there to do your best. There's no shame in winning by a lot. The other person needs to learn how to compete at a higher level if they want to play a closer match.
Yeah, totally agree.
The Essential Tennis Podcast is brought to you by
Bridgewater Medical Group. Is a multi-specialty medical group located in Bridgewater, New Jersey, and is your home for primary care, gastroenterology, sports medicine, and general internal medicine. They offer a broad array of on-site, state-of-the-art services to make your healthcare experience more pleasurable. Scheduled appointments are preferred, but physician assistants are available for walk-in care. For more information, call Bridgewater Medical Group at 908-722-0808.
For more information on sponsors of the Essential Tennis Podcast or to become a sponsor, visit www.essentialtennis.com.
The last one is, and this is a thought that a lot of times comes up when we're playing someone who we perceive to be better than us, is, oh my gosh, I'm going to win.
Yeah, sure.
Right? And it actually can freak you out. And it's usually against someone who you don't think you can beat, or you previously decided that they're better than you.
Okay.
And this thought going through your mind is actually shocking, and all of a sudden, you know, you'll be up, and like, and you realize that you're on the doorstep of winning. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh my gosh, I'm winning, and then you start to lose. And I guarantee if you think this and then entertain the thought, I promise you're not going to win.
Yeah, it definitely makes it a lot tougher, for sure.
Right. So we'll get into, you know, kind of how to fix this in a second. The last thing I want to say, I really couldn't figure out where this fit in, but I figured it was useful anyway, is all that's left between you and victory is the rest of the match.
Okay.
So I really invite listeners out there to try that on and fit that in where they can, in terms of choking, that all that's left between you and victory is the rest of the match. It's always the case.
Makes sense.
All right.
Okay. So you want to move on to how to avoid choking then?
Yes.
Great. All right. Yeah.
Now that we know how to choke, right?
Yeah. That's something we're all experts at, right?
Yeah.
How to do it. Now tell us how to avoid it.
Okay, good. Well, the first thing is you really want to notice yourself getting into these traps.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so now that we've talked about it a little, it can be a little more familiar. You want to catch yourself getting into them.
Sure.
Or in this the mindset, or when these thoughts come up, or anything like that.
So identifying the situation where it happens for you the most.
Yes, absolutely. And one thing is realizing that you have tons of thoughts. And your thoughts, they come and they go like the wind, and you don't really have control over them coming and going and popping up.
Unfortunately,
you know?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, right?
Yeah.
But what you do have control over is which ones you actually pay attention to.
Gotcha.
Sometimes you'll actually, I mean, most people probably have this experience, you'll think something really ridiculous, and you'll notice it as ridiculous, and then you'll start thinking something else, right?
Sure.
You kind of brush it off, something like it. But what there actually is to do this with the mental aspect of the game, and in terms of, it's really useful to be able to do in terms of choking, too. So when these thoughts do come up, or when you do find yourself in these traps, is realize that you actually don't have to pay attention to what's going on in your head.
That's great advice. That's absolutely great. I could have used that last week. I play in a paddle tennis league, platform tennis, and
yeah, good time.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I just love the competition and something new to learn. But almost all the strokes are the same as tennis for me. And in tennis, my serve has always been my most confident stroke historically. And last week, my serve just choked. I 100% yeah. Choked. You know, I would put the toss up, start my swing, and my my left arm would just get tight. I would just get tight. And right. Obviously, after the first time that happens, obviously, the natural thought is the next time you go up to serve, the first thing you're going to think is, oh, I'm going to get tight again.
My serve sucks.
Yeah, right. Oh, crap. And in doubles paddle, you only get one serve per point. So, I mean, you can double fault a game away in about 15 seconds.
Right, yeah.
Or single fault a game away in 15 seconds. So, I could have used that a week ago to be able to tell my... So how do you do that? How do you take a negative thought like that, which is, you know, it's legitimate. It's, you know, I identified I was starting to get tight, and obviously I was getting nervous. what's the best way to tell your brain that to ignore it or brush it away?
Yeah, that's good. Well, the first thing is what you want to do first is notice what's going on, and you know, getting tight and getting nervous are good indicators that you're, I would say, in some kind of trap, right?
Yeah.
And you want to figure out what it is actually you're telling yourself.
Okay.
And you know what the thought might be, because we start having these thoughts, we start telling ourselves stuff, and it usually is not going to help us win.
Sure.
Right. So what it takes actually is, one, you have to be what I call on to yourself and really be, you know, like, pay attention to yourself and be ruthless and strict with yourself, mm-hmm. and really focus on, and this is, it takes mental muscle to do this. And it does get easier as time goes by, but really focus on your game plan, focus on being aggressive, focus on playing your game, how you play it, focus on something, whatever it is that got you to almost winning in the first place.
Okay, so pick a positive topic and concentrate on that on purpose, right, rather than letting the negative one permeate.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, and the underlying keyword, underlined in quotation bold mark here, is on purpose.
Sure.
Because a lot of times we do let tennis just happen.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's locking out of your mind the causes of choking or the thoughts or whatever's going on that we talked about already, and really like having an ironclad focus on being aggressive, playing our game. And you know, that it could be a whole new podcast on coming up what to focus on.
Absolutely.
But just in the meantime, you know, you can think of, and you know, listeners out there, you can think of visualize a time where you were really what I call in the zone.
Mm-hmm.
And you might want to, you know, spend some time thinking about that and really distill what it was that was your focus or what you were thinking to yourself then.
Sure. So it's going to be different for different people, you're saying?
Yeah, and you know, some people are more interested in being aggressive and kicking butt, or some people are more interested in, you know, how well can I be hitting the ball, or you know, mm-hmm. how by the book can I play. It is different for other people. The main thing is it excites you and interests you.
Okay.
For what to focus on.
Okay. So paying attention to what gets you in the zone in the first place, and then secondly, having the focus to keep your attention there on whatever that thing happens to be. Those are the two keys here.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, our ability to do this—it's like being able to run for a long time. You know, before we start training, we can run for, you know, a mile,
mm-hmm.
but we practice and train, then we can run 5 miles, 10 miles, 12 miles.
Sure.
It's the same thing with your ability to focus in tennis. You know, it takes a certain mental muscle that I mentioned earlier. You know, at first you'll be able to focus however well, and then you keep practicing and build the muscle, and you get better at it.
Well, unfortunately, I found that my mental muscle has weakened since I stopped playing in college. What's it been? Almost 5 years ago. 5 years ago when I was playing in school, every day I would have been able to shake that off very quickly, you know, double faulting
right.
once, I mean, well, you know, whatever, no big deal. I know, you know, I would say something positive to myself in the, something like, well, I usually only double fault like once a set. So great. That means I'm not going to double fault anymore for the rest of the set and just be that confident. But yeah, unfortunately last week I didn't have that focus. So I need to get out and exercise that focus muscle.
Right.
All right.
Yeah. It really does take practice, and it, just like any other muscle, when you don't practice it, it also unfortunately diminishes.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have other tips on how to avoid choking?
Actually, yeah, there was. This was actually my main one.
Okay. Great.
So, in closing out a match, it actually takes more effort and focus and intentionality to close out a match than to get to towards near the end of the match.
Okay.
Does that make sense what I said?
So if you take winning as a 100% pie, you're saying the last 5% is more work than the previous 95. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, even if this, what I'm about to say isn't necessarily the truth, you might want to try it on as the truth, that you want to treat the last couple points, the last game or two, mm-hmm. like they're going to be the hardest ones to win.
So just expect you're going to have to work harder, basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. And totally opposite to the normal way we relate to it, like coasting and sailing towards the end of the match to victory. It actually, I would say, the last game or two or whatever it is going to be, is going to take from you the most work and effort and focus of all the match. Because, what were you saying?
I was going to say, and why is that? But then you said because, so. Step ahead of me.
Because a lot of times, towards the end of the match, one, your mind is like going nuts. Mm-hmm. And that's the time when a lot of times we end up fighting ourselves the most. Mm-hmm. Because we want to just relax and coast and rest on our laurels and how many points we've won already. Or our mind is going nuts and saying, like, oh my gosh, I'm going to win. I don't know if I can actually beat this guy.
Right.
Plus the other person's fighting for their life then.
Right.
So it's, you're actually playing yourself and the other person at the same time. Which, you know, usually you're playing yourself or the other person in tennis, if that makes sense what I said.
Oh, yeah, no. It's another thing that, like you said before, it's probably something people just don't consider. You're right. Yeah, oftentimes you're your own kind of worst enemy out there mentally, for sure.
Yeah, totally. So really, it's closing out a match is going to take 110% focus from you.
Yeah.
And just realize that, and know that that's what it's going to take. And then, you know, find what there is to focus on and let go of the thoughts that aren't going to help you.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, specifically how to do that is a whole nother podcast, but I think that's going to give the listeners a good amount to chew on already.
Ah, definitely. Yeah. Any other tips on how to avoid choking? How many more do you have?
No, that's what I got.
Oh, that's it. Okay. Yeah, well, great. anything else that you'd like to add before we wrap up? It's been a lot of great information so far.
No, I'm glad. I hope it's been useful for everybody out there. This stuff is actually, it's simple, but it's really not easy at all. But if winning was easy, then everybody would be doing it.
Absolutely. I agree. Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about a lot of the information that I give out about technique and strategy and that kind of thing. Like, mm-hmm. when you hear the answer to the question of how do you hit, you know, X stroke cross court, it's like, oh, well, yeah, that makes sense. But on the other hand, actually going out and making your body good at it and being able to repeat that process, it's, you're right. That part of it is very complicated, and it takes a lot of effort and like I said, repetition to be able to truly be good at it. And that's why a lot of people don't win, you know, a lot, is because it really takes a lot of conscious effort. To be a winner, to be able to win over and over, is, it's not a mistake. It doesn't happen on accident, unfortunately.
Right. No. Yeah, if winning all the time was easy, then everybody would. If the mental part of the game was easy, then everybody would be doing
it. Yeah, it's very difficult. And for me, that could be, and I started off saying that so many of my listeners, I've gotten feedback from them. I've had other people on the show talking about mental tennis, and I've gotten feedback from so many different listeners saying the same thing. I can't believe so many other people struggle in this same area. I thought I was nuts. I thought I was completely crazy that this was bothering me that much.
What's wrong with me,
right,
that I can't,
exactly,
that I deal with
I must
this,
be
right?
Some kind of whack job that, you know.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with you guys out there.
No, nothing at all. Everybody
deals with this.
And this is why, because it really is hard work. It doesn't come naturally. I suppose for one out of a million, you know, somebody might just be naturally confident and never negative. Now, as I'm saying it, I'm thinking to myself, no way, that's not possible. it's just so hard to be up and focused 100% of the time. And so that's why this information is great. Yes, it is, you know, simplistic in theory, but in practice, it's very complicated. Mm. So
it is.
So thanks very much for coming on the show, David, and sharing this with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know the listeners are going to appreciate it a great deal because it is one of the most popular topics here. And so I'm sure in the future, we'd love to have you back on the program sometime.
Yeah, that'd be great. And, you know, you can start a thread or, you know, from the listeners out there, if you guys have some requests and specific topics that you'd like Ian and I to talk about, then just stick it up there on a thread or email them or something.
Definitely. In fact, David, you should go. You're not registered on the forums yet, are you, at Essential Tennis?
Mm, No, actually, I don't think I have.
You should. And everybody, if you have a specific question for David, feel free to post it there on the forums. And David, if you have a couple minutes, go register there. And I'm sure people will give some feedback on the show, and we'll see if people have some additional questions as well.
Yeah, game on.
Okay, cool. Well, again, thanks so much for joining us. Thank you for spending your time, giving us this great information. And I look forward to having you back on the show in the future.
Sure, sounds good.
All right, David, take care.
All right, bye.
Okay, that brings episode number 44 to a close. Before we finish things up here, I just wanted to announce the results of our New Year's resolution tennis contest, where I had people post their New Year's resolutions for 2009 as it had to do with their tennis games. Had a lot of great responses to that, and lots of, obviously everybody has different things that they have to work on for their tennis game, and it was cool to read through and see all the different skills that people are working on in their tennis game. And I want to announce the winner, who is Jay Mark on the forums. And he's actually only posted one time, and the one post was in the contest forum, posting his resolution. And it was, I changed my grip to semi-Western about 2 months ago in the pursuit of topspin, and my unforced errors have dropped in half. So I plan to improve my forehand and learn to vary the amount of topspin during a match as needed. Also, my ground strokes are good and volleys are improving, but my feet are often stuck to the court, especially at the net for volleys. I tend to hit with an open stance when things are moving quickly. Split-stepping sounds so easy, then the point gets going and I forget all about it. New mantra, move my feet. So Jay Mark wants to improve his footwork at the net and also learn how to use topspin in more variety of ways from the baseline. So both great things to work on, and lots of other, again, great thought put into this. One of my personal favorites was from Bieri, also just one post on the forums to enter the contest here, and he posted a list of six different resolutions, things that he hopes to accomplish in 2009, and resolution number six was actually do the last five goals. So I thought that was great. Yes, we need to have the motivation to not only think about these goals and set them for ourselves, but have the motivation to actually follow through. You guys can go there and read my resolution as well, which was to create more topspin on my one-handed backhand. I'd love to be able to hit a heavy ball just like I do on my forehand side. So that does it. Jay Mark, by the way, I sent you an email. I need your address so that I can send you the strains and the grips. Please respond to that, and I'll get those out to you as soon as possible. Thanks very much for joining me, everybody, today. Thank you for your time and for downloading the podcast. Hopefully today's episode was informative and helpful. If it was, go to the forums at EssentialTennis.com and leave a quick note. All right, have a great week, everybody. Take care, and good luck with your tennis.